Thursday the 24th of July, Tisha B'Av, Rabbi Yosef Grunfeld, in Yonei Tisha B'Av.
Rabbi Eli Liapian brings in the Sefer, B'Shem the Ramor, a story of an encounter between the philosopher Plato and Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Plato found Yirmiyahu HaNavi weeping. Found Yirmiyahu HaNavi weeping over the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And he asked him two questions. He said, why are you weeping over bricks and mortar? It's a building. I can't understand. And secondly, it's over. You're crying over spilt milk. There's nothing you can do about it. So forget about it and move on. Why are you crying over spilt milk? Those are two questions he asked Yirmiyahu. He said, Yirmiyahu to Plato, please tell me, give me all your philosophical problems, any existential problems which you've been grappling with over the years. Give them to me. I'll see if I can answer them. He placed all his problems in front of him, and Yirmiyahu answered all his philosophical questions. And he was absolutely amazed. He says, where do you get your wisdom from? He said, from that building. From that building which you call bricks and mortar, I'm weeping because we've lost that building. That was the source of all my wisdom. As for the second question which you asked me, I'm crying over spilt milk. That's something which I'll never be able to explain to you. And he wouldn't answer the question because he was a non-Jew. The question for us is, what would he have answered us had we asked him the question? The second question was, why are you crying over spilt milk? It's over. Let me answer this with a nevuah from Yechezkel. Yechezkel was one of the Nevi'im who, through prophecy, heard about the booming destruction, the impending destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and he has the following vision. V'hinei, Shisha Anoshim Bo'im Mider Shah Elyon. Yechezkel had a nevuah of six men coming from the Shah Elyon, the upper gate, Asher Mofnot Zafonah, which faces north. That, of course, represents Bavel. V'ish Klei Mafot Zubiyodah, each one of these six men had a weapon of destruction in his hand. V'ish Echad B'Seichon, one of the six men, Lovish Badim, was dressed in linen, in white. The Kesef HaSoif of the Mosnov, and the slate of the scribe was on his loins. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, very strange. Who is this person who sticks out? All of them have one thing in common, they had a weapon of destruction. We have one of those Malochim, or Anoshim, who's dressed in white, and besides having a sword of destruction, also has the slate of the scribe on his Mosnov. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, who is this sixth person? Malach Koshish Ebeneim. This is the most destructive of all the Malachim, Zer Gavriel. Gimel Devorim, Gavriel is Mamunah over the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Gimel Devorim, Hoya Oysa Malach Meshamish. Gavriel, on that day, in that Nevuah, represented three different aspects. Kasanta, he was a Sofer. Safklapa, Safakalta, an executioner, the Kohen Gadol, and the Kohen Gadol. Shenema v'ish echod lovish badim uksib b'kohen ksonis b'kodesh tiyeh yilbash. In other words, if he's dressed in white linen, he can only represent one person, and that is the Kohen Gadol, because the Kohen Gadol went lifnai v'lifnim once a year into the Kodesh Kodshim, lovish badim, and therefore he has to represent the Kohen Gadol. That's Rabbi Yochanan. So it was Gavriel representing A, a sword of destruction, B, a scribe, and C, the Kohen Gadol. The Bishlema, the destruction that we understand, it was in the war of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Even the scribe, the Sofer, which was on Al-Mosnov, we can understand, because there had to be a verdict. This was a vision of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and there had to be a verdict for Beis Din Shemala. So he represents the verdict. He's writing the psak on the slate that we understand as well. But Kohen Gadol, Lifnav Lifnim, has no place in this Nevuah. How does the Kohen God love his budding coming? Finally, before we go to the answers, let me ask you one other question. Chazal say, Kol ha-mis'abal al Yerushalayim, anybody who is abal al Yerushalayim, roye v'zoyche b'simchosa. Roye v'zoyche, he sees and witnesses b'simchosa. The notion is difficult. Millions of people, through the course of the 2,000 years of disruption of Beit HaMikdash, have sat on the floor and wept, as we all did today, and haven't seen or witnessed the rebuilding of Beit HaMikdash. The loshi should have been that if they weep and if they mourn, then the time will come when yizkeh v'yireh, they will be zoch, they will be amongst those who will witness the joy of the rebuilding of Yerushalayim, the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. What is the present tense zoicheh v'royeh? So we have three questions. One, what was the second answer of Plato? To Plato, which he didn't answer. Number two, what is the Kohen Gadol doing in this vision? And number three, what is the present tense, Zoicheh v'royeh, in this Mama Chazal? So, let me quote to you Sukkah, which we'll be soon be reading in Elul, Moshe's last speech. In Parshas Vayelech, we have the following passage. Vayomesh on Moshe, in Kol Yomecha Lomus, Kores Yeshua, and Gadol Klal Yisrael. And Moshe warns Klal Yisrael, V'kom amazeh, v'zon achrei el heinecho oret, asher hu boshom v'kirboi, v'adavani, they will forsake me, v'hefes brit yasher kurati toi. V'chora api boi bayoy mahu, says the Ribbono Shel Olam. Vazaptim vistati ponai bohem mehem. I will hide my face with them. Vahoyo lechol matzuhu rois matzuhu rois rabbis v'soros. Most terrible things will happen to them. They will become prey to their enemies. Vahoyo lechol. Very stark aloshen. Vomer vayomahu haloi alki enele kai bekirbi matzuhu niorosa ele. They will say, why has this happened to us? Because the Ribbono Shel Olam is not amongst us. Vonoichi haste aste ponai vayomahu. And I will continue to hide my face on this day. Al kol ha'roa she'osa kifon elehem acherim. Va'ato kisfu lochem es hashir hazois. Write down this shir, which refers to hazino. V'lamdos bnei Yisrael sima b'fiyem. And teach Klal Yisrael this shira. L'man tiyeh li hashir hazois le'ed b'vnei Yisrael. That this shir of hazino will be as a witness. V'hoyo when these terrible sorrows come about, the shira will be an aid. Freit Ramban, why is there a second Haftorah spawning? The Torah says, I will be angry. We start upon my hem. Aren't they doing teshuva? Once they say it's because the Ribbono Shel Olam is not amongst us, this is teshuva. So why should there be a second Haftorah spawning? Says the Ramban that it's only the beginning of teshuva, it's not the complete teshuva. In other words, there's a recognition that comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam, but you haven't got charota, you haven't got kabbalah la'osid, all the requirements for teshuva are not yet there, and therefore I cannot bring around about the gula until we have a full teshuva. Therefore, follow noichi aster aster pona bayil mahu. I'll have to continue. But there's another magnificent pshat from the Yad HaKtana. The Yad HaKtana is an unknown author. I heard this many, 35 years ago, I think, from Rav Matisyol. And it really moved me. Moritic of pshat. He says the following. This isn't Shuva. When Klal Yisrael say, Haloi al-ki'ena l'kai b'kirbi, Matsuni rav ro'ois ho'ele, this is not Shuva. This is total yish. This is total despair. Where was God during the Holocaust? Throughout the Tzoros of Klal Yisrael, through 2,000 years of Tzoros, where's the Ribbono Shel Olam? He's hiding his face. He's given us up. It's not Shuva, it's total despair. Says the Ribbono Shel Olam, what's the antidote for despair? They should learn Hazinu. Lemantil Yashir Azois La'eid Bifnei Yisrael. It should act as an aid. Rashi learns Peshat that this is an aid, is a witness for the prosecution. The Hazinu is Eidus, Hazinu Hashemayim Vadabeirus Ishmaris Imrefi. Klal Yisrael will never be able to say that they weren't warned. We warned you. Klal Yisrael can never turn around and say to the Rebbeinu Shlom, you never warned us. In Hazinu, everything is written. The Sifri says, in Hazinu, everything is contained in Hazinu. And all the warnings are there. Klal Yisrael, when the Tzoras come, can never, this is an aid, witness for the prosecution, that Klal Yisrael can never turn around to the Rebbeinu Shlom and say, how are we? We didn't know this was going to happen. Yeah, but Tana learned differently. And he says like this, Bishlemi would never have been warned. And these things would have happened to us out of the blue, we wouldn't have been warned. Then, Chas v'Shalom, we'd have a mockum for years. The Rebbeinu Shlom has distanced himself, has cut himself off, has excommunicated himself from Klal Yisrael. We've sinned. So we've been thrown into Golis, into exile. And the truth of the matter is, that's what the Goyim, the Christians, have been saying to us for 2,000 years. That is the great Christian claim. I don't know if you know this. They can't do away with us. They've never been able to do away with us. We exist. Kaisra, they believe in the Old Testament. So how did their story come about? We're around. They agree to the Old Testament. The answer is because Kaisra sinned. And a bunch of exiles them. He's cut them off the land. And he's never going to bring them back. And he's replaced them with us. So now believe in him, Rahman Islam. That's their story. Of course we existed. We were the chosen people. But we didn't live up to the expectations. We've broken the covenant. And if we've broken the covenant, you've had it. Kaput. You're not coming back and we've taken over. That's the story of the Christians. 2,000 years is a long time. A very long time. How can we answer them? Maybe Chas v'Shalom is true. The answer is the Yabatana, because we've been warned. If nothing had been said in the first place, and it would have happened, then maybe they're right. But if every single thing that has happened has been forewarned, and then it happens, then you know that the Rebbeinu Shlom is puppeteering, you'll excuse this expression. It's a new word in English which I've coined. He's puppeteering, he's pulling strings. If nothing would have been told before and then suddenly it happens, well, they've got a whole story, they can answer. But if everything that's happened has been warned, then he said, you've got to this and this and this and this, the last detail will happen. And it happens, then you know that Rebbeinu Shlomo is in charge. And the other things which Rebbeinu Shlomo has promised will also happen. And of course, that's how the Beis Halevi explains the famous story of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva and Nachum were walking, everyone knows this, Rabbi Akiva and Nachum were walking along the Mokum HaMikdash. Pardon? And they saw a shul. So the Nachum cried and the Rabbi Akiva smiled. Nachum said, how can you smile? He said, why are you laughing? Why are you crying? He said, look, there's a shul on the Mokum HaMikdash. Why are you crying? So he said, why are you smiling? They said, because that was forewarned, that seal would be ploughed under, that there should be shulim there, and it's exactly what is taking place. If so, then the other will also take place. Jesus came and on, and one day, be walking the streets of Yerushalayim again. Once it's forewarned and everything has happened, then you know the Rebbeinu Shlom is in charge, and all their time is though they haven't got any sense anymore. Had it not been forewarned, then we would have been in trouble. And it would be an aid in the Shira. Everything's warned in the first place, so it would be an aid, not for the prosecution. It will help Klal Yisrael get themselves out of a muscle of years when they're in a terrible despair. It's not Shuba and they can't anymore, and they see sorrows and sorrows. They say, where's the Rebbeinu Shlom? Maybe he's cut us off, and that's what the Goyim are trying to convince us the whole time. And I'll show you where. Another magnificent Alshich. Magnificent Alshich. Says the Alshich, that's exactly, listen to the between the Goyim and the Rebbeinu Shlom. when the goyim see what's happening, and they see Gofris v'melech, Sreifa kol Arzo, and they see the terrible devastation, v'omru kol agoyim, amer osha Hashem koch olor tazoyt. How could the Rebbeinu Shalom do such a thing? And they say, because the Jewish people broke the covenant. Asher ozvez b'rit Hashem elekei avoysom. Vayelchu vayavdu lehim acheri, vayishtachu lehim lehim asher lo yodim v'lo yechalak lehim. Vayichaf Hashem b'oretz ahi, lehovi oleh et haklol v'aksuv v'asef hazeh. Vayitshem Hashem meyalav mosom, v'af v'cheim, v'chetz et godol. Vayashlichem l'eretz acheres, el eretz acheres. He's thrown them out. Says the Alshich, they use a lotion of Hashlocha. What's Vayashlichem? If I'm standing here and I'm holding a ball, and I throw the ball, I stay here and the ball goes there. He's cut them off. He's excommunicated. Vayashlichem, forever. They'll never come back. That's been their story for 2,000 years. Maybe they're right. Not if it's forewarned. Says the Rabbeinu Shloilom, this now the Torah is speaking, says the Rabbeinu Shloilom, this was the Goyim. And you'll do tshuva. That's another prophecy that's also forewarned, that you will do tshuva, one day you'll come back and I'll bring you back. Everything will, this is the second part of the rule. All the gospels for Melech is one which is forewarned. But here's the second. Look what the Rebbeinu Shlom said. Hadocha says the Al Sheikh is pushing. When I sweep, the broom pushes the dirt forward. Hashlocha is I separate myself from what I was holding. Hadocha is I push, but I come with. They say Hashlocha, we say Hadocha. But it's all been forewarned. It's been forewarned that there's no mokum for years. I can call it a shira. Hazin is calamitous. The answer is because they're both there. If one was there, says Rabbi Akiva, the other will come as well. There's no mokum for years. You see, it has to be that way. It can't be any other way. Because the Rabbeinu Shalom made a bris with Avraham Avinu. Rabbi Shalom made a covenant with Avraham that I will make a bris, the covenant between you, or Ben Zarach, or bris olam, the doiroi son. How long is bris olam? The doiroi son. Bris olam is an eternal covenant. As long as there is a world, there will be a Jewish people. And the connection with the Rabbi Shalom will always be there, however severed it might seem. Bris olam means always. To never cut you off. Exile, Golus, yes. But after Yosam Be'eret, Oyveim Lo Ma'asim Lo Ga'altim Lachal Lo Yisom Lahofer Brisi. Exile there'll be, Golus will be. But after Lachal Lo Yisom Lahofer Brisi, I've made a bris with Avram. I've made a bris with Klal Yisrael in Sinai. Never to excommunicate them. So let the Goyim scream. What's right here? Years, there's no mokum for years. And the longer it lasts, still there's no mokum for years. One day Mashiach will come, you've been promised. One's been fulfilled, then the other will also be fulfilled. It has to be that way. In other words, every time the Torah speaks of a calamity, there has to be the seed of redemption in that calamity, because Klal Yisrael have to exist. And therefore somehow or other they will get out of any matter which looks calamitous and completely finished. It has to be that way. And that's why the Ramban says, on the very famous spot of Hashimoyti Anieta Oris, Vishama Ole Avechem Ayoshim Bo, the Rabbi Hashem says that Eretz Yisrael will remain desolate for your enemies, which is a terrible klala. Gofris for Melech and will remain desolate. How much worse can it be? Says the Ramban, in that klala lies the bracha of Klal Yisrael. It has to be that way. Says the Ramban, if it's going to be desolate for the rest of the world, and the history is that nobody has been able to work the land. Nobody. It's been the crossroads of Asia, Europe. It's been conquered by I don't know how many. the Crusaders, the Mamluks, the Ottomans, the British. For 2,000 years, Eretz Yisrael has been conquered. We haven't been there. And the land has remained desolate. There's no time to show you all the proofs. But the Ramban, when he went to Eretz Yisrael, describes to his son how terrible the land was. When Mark Twain went, he describes total desolation. For 2,000 years, it's been totally desolate. And the Ramban says, this constitutes a good tiding. What's the, I ask you? Well, the Rabbi Shem says, you will be thrown out. The land will remain desolate and will remain desolate for your enemies as well. Ha, ha, ha. Like a little spoiled baby. You know, if you can't have the toy, if I can't have the toy, you can't have the toy either. What difference does it make to me? I'm out. If I'm going to be out, what difference does it make if the land remains desolate? Let them till the land. I can't, the punishment is that I can't be there. I want to be there. I can't get back. So what do I care if the land remains desolate or it remains what you call it? I want to get back. Ha ha ha. I haven't got it, so you can't have it either. Sounds very simplistic and very babyish. Says the Ramban, that's a good tiding for Klal Yisrael. Because if it remains desolate for Klal Yisrael, for the rest of the world, that means that the Eretz Yisrael belongs to us, and one day Mashiach will bring us back and it'll remain ours. It doesn't work for anybody else, because Eretz Yisrael is a Mokum Kodesh, it belongs to us. That's what you state the Ramban. On this possum, Rashi Moshe and Yisroel. I'm trying to bring out the following. In the Klola, that it remains desolate, which is devastating, lies the Brocha. You want to be Miyash? Excommunication? Look at the land. The land remains desolate. The Rai will come back one day. In that Klola lies the seeds of redemption. It has to be like that. Because we've got an everlasting covenant with the Rabbi Yisrael. And that, said my uncle, Rav Moshe Eisenman, is perhaps hot of the shot in the Kohen Gadol. Mayrdi Pshat. Here comes along Yecheskel HaNovi. He comes along with a sword of destruction. And the Keses HaSeifa B'Mosna. The slate is written down, the verdict is Yipere, you're out, exile. And we're all ready for the Goyim to come ringing with a clarion call, that's it, Hashlocha. In that very Nevuah stands the Kohen God Lovish Badi. He goes Lifnai V'Lifnim. You can tell Klal Yisrael that it's not forever. Because in Klal Yisrael there are always the seeds of tshuva. Vashi Voicha Levecha, the Kohen Gadol represents Yom Kippur, the Snag Lifnim, the tshuva of Klal Yisrael, the late Klal Yisrael. In that very terrible klala of a vision of total and utter annihilation and destruction, the Kohen Gadol is still there, Lovish Badim, dressed in white. You tell Klal Yisrael, don't be miyaj. One day you'll come back, because in Klal Yisrael lies the seeds of tshuva, and I will never desert you completely. That's the Nevuah. And that's Pshat in Tisha B'Av. In that very Klola, I want to add my own seed of redemption, and we'll finish with that. In another terrible Klola of Chazal, of Torah, as expounded by Chazal, Batisa Kola Eilo, Vayitnu Es Koila, Vayivko On Balaylo Ahu. At the time of the Raglim, they cried and wept about Eretz Yisrael. Omar Rab, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Oysa halayla Tisha B'Av hoyo. That night was Tisha B'Av. Omar lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu atem bechisem bechiyo shel chinam. You cried a cry for nothing. V'ani koyveh lechem bechiyo ledoyros. This night will be a bechiyo ledoyros. A bechiyo ledoyros that you will always be weeping on Tisha B'Av. I mean, it doesn't come much worse than that. And I say, in that rock, in that klala, in that terrible teichocha, we can get the greatest chizuk. Why? The Moedik Avot from Rav Chaim Volozhin. Cholam es abad al Yerushalayim, roya v'zeicha b'simchosa. It will be year of Yizke. There's Rav Chaim Volozhin. Yosef, when the brothers came back and said Toros Teref Yosef, says Vayimoin Linochim, Yaakov could not be comforted, and for 22 years could not be comforted until was reunited with Yosef. Says Chazal, that the Rebbeinu Shlomo has put into this world a law of nature. Imagine somebody loses somebody who's near and dear. But the pain which they felt at the time when they lose them will continue forever. They wouldn't be able to exist. The Rebbeinu Shlomo has put in Teva the Kol HaShikra, the ability to forget. And with the ability to forget, time is the best healer and the pain recedes over the years. When is that chok in Teva? When does that apply? That's when the person has really died. Then the Kol HaShikra takes over. But when it comes to somebody who thinks the person is dying, but he's really alive, then that law of nature doesn't take over. That law of nature only works if somebody's really dying. Therefore, say Chazal, Yaakov could not be comforted because Yosef was still alive, he hadn't really died. Says of Chaim Volozhin, how can it be that for the last 2,000 years, Klal Yisrael have sat on the floor and wept for a Beis HaMikdash which they've never seen, never experienced, which was destroyed close to 2,000 years ago, and today we sat on the floor and thousands of years, millions of years around the world are sitting and crying for a Chum which we've never experienced? I mean, the only topical example I can compare it to is, can you imagine 2,000 years time, people sitting on the floor and weeping for the loss of the Twin Towers? It's a building. There might be a plaque. It might be 2,000 years. There might be an ancient plaque commemorating the destruction. But nobody's going to sit there weeping. And yet Klal Yisrael are weeping and crying for a loss of something which has never experienced. A building noch. As Plato said. The answer is, if they were right, Yenagoyim were right, and the Beit HaMikdash had been destroyed, and we weren't coming back, and it was destroyed forever, and it's excommunication, and it's Hashlocha, and that's the end of the journey, then the Beit HaMikdash is dead, Chas V'Shalom. If it's dead, then the Kol HaShikra would take over. Then there's no way that we will be able to cry. The answer is that they're wrong, that it's Hadocha, and that the Beis HaMikdash is still alive and well in our hearts. It will be rebuilt. It's not finally destroyed. And therefore, since it will be rebuilt, it's still alive, it's impossible for us to forget. And that's the greatest answer to the Goyim. The mere fact that we can sit down and cry in this day and age, 2,000 years later, is the biggest slap in the face to the Goyim. That it's not Hashlocha, that it's Hadocha. And therefore, I'm trying to say that Vayivku Kolo Edo, yeah, they cried, and Rebbeinu Shlomo says to Klal Yisrael, I'll give you a mokum to cry in the future, which is the worst possibly, the worst punishment possible. But in that very, very crying, which should go on for thousands of years, I'll give you a mokum to cry. That very crying shows the seeds of redemption. Says Rav Chaim Volozhin, not Yirav Yiskeh. If we can cry now, we're Zoich HaMarai, we're already seeing, because otherwise we couldn't cry at the beginning of the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. And that's why Nehemiah Yahu cried. He says, on the first question which you asked me on the sticks and stones, that I can answer you. I got all my wisdom from the sticks and stones. But now that you're...
There are two cars blocking somebody in, and somebody has to take somebody to hospital. So, GNO3CXF and V442FLA. Those cars.
I'm nearly finished. That was the pshat in Yirmiyahu HaNavi. On the first question, he said, I'll answer you. I'm not crying over bricks and mortar. I'm crying over a building which contained the greatest spiritual truths. All the wisdom I've got from this Beis HaMikdash. On the second thing, I'm crying over spilt milk. You say it's over, it's kaput. I'm not answering you. A guy will never understand how you even can carry on for 2,000 years. They'll never understand that. But I'm telling you what I'm crying. I'm crying or for the 2,000 years with Klal Yisrael will have to continue crying until the Beit HaMikdash is rebuilt, because it's not spilt milk. If it's spilt milk, I wouldn't be crying. But I'm crying over those 2,000 years, until Mashiach comes, will be a long time, and they're going to have to weep tears. And I'm crying over those tears which they're going to have to weep for the kapara of the avodas which they did, b'shalas meragdim and all the other b'shalas achum Beit HaMikdash. That's what I'm crying about. But it's not spilt milk. You think it's spilt milk, but you'll never understand that. Only a yid can understand, because in a yid's heart, he knows the truth. A guy will never understand. They keep saying hashlocha, hashlocha. We keep saying hadocha. That's the story of Tisha B'Av. So we're at, we sit and we cry, and we wail, and we feel it. And it's the saddest day of the year, without the slightest doubt. At the same time, there is no mocking for years. No mocking for years. One day, the Beit HaMikdash will be built. Plato couldn't get the second answer. We know the true answer. It's been forewarned, it's in our Torah, and one day Mashiach will come. In the Rabbi Shalom, in Zakat, that Mashiach should come, this Tisha B'Av, and all the Torah should be gone. Aviyas HaGoyach, in heaven.